This is a real side dream and an experience from what I call the in-betweeny state, the state where I am between sleep and wakefulness. It can also be maintained and is an interesting practice to do so, for to remain in the in-betweeny state, one must put all thought processes and emotion aside, and effectively we can see then it is in fact maintaining a state of awareness, of being isness, so a good practice to maintain, to see and be, and objectively regard phenomena that manifests, to see what we can recognize of the is also. Anyway, also what I do prior to sleep has a bearing on my real side dreams. I've mentioned that anything that makes sense from an awareness perspective and benefit before sleep will more often produce real side demonstrations and experiences. Anything of a personal nature and the real side experiences are lessened, or maybe had after we have purged some of the physical level debris, effects that we take on by watching TV as an example, something for the personal self more so. Hence, I try to avoid the TV before bed. But on this occasion, I had watched the new Stephen King's It film, Part 2, at the cinema prior to sleep. And the real side dreams that followed were very intense, very difficult to determine exactly as to the details, but the themes were very dark, along the lines of those portrayed in what was on the surface a relatively harmless movie. And then I was frequently switching to the in-betweeny state, and phenomena was bleeding through from the dream arena and manifesting in my room, as is commonplace with the in-betweeny state if we emerge into it from sleep. Again, phenomena of a dark and disturbing, for the personal self anyway, nature. Back and forth I would go between sleep and the in-betweeny state, and the same dark themes, evidently stemming from the movie, perpetuated. We know how movies, computers, televisions, etc., are black magic and distortion, windows and glimpses into other realities and dimensions, made manifest by the focus and agreement that brings them into being, and how, with enough focus, an individual can potentially find themselves in these worlds portrayed on the movie screens, projecting into future lifetimes and creating these future positions for themselves. I've seen such worlds on the real side, resembling computer games and fantasy worlds that people align with and their personal selves hold dear. Also, the movies are full of subliminals designed to subconsciously program us into agreements via the ethereal vehicle, agreements that maintain the control that the authoritarians have over their human slaves. agreement to these subliminals, having us then subconsciously subject to the resulting cause and effect, which yields very limited, controlled experience and endless future lifetimes of servitude therefore. Also, what we align with, what we focus upon, are not just simply ideas and creations of others that have us the effect of them on the physical level, but we can find ourselves aligning with the lower astral if whatever we are agreeing with is of a nature in keeping with this place. The heavy metal music, as an example, how it has those listening to it aligning with demonic entities from the lower astral, and the projecting cause and effect resultingly, that may have them transitioning from the physical when they do, and finding themselves in these lower areas of the astral as their next position. It would seem movies will have the similar effect, particularly if they are of a decidedly dark nature. This dream then would demonstrate how movies are packed with the sort of subliminals for agreement and programming purposes that can have us aligning ourselves with worlds and areas of the psych realms that resemble the nature of what we watch. Perhaps were I lacking awareness, I would not have experienced such a strong real side demonstration and experience that stemmed from this particular movie, as awareness affords one the ability to see more, to see beyond the surface world of the seemingly harmless movies, and to glimpse the thought forms created, the parts of creation aligned to, the sort of beings we may connect with resultingly, such as demonic type characters and entities. But of course, if we are aware and stand real in the new nowness of the is, if we decide this for ourselves, we are effectively beyond cause and effect creation, and so such an experience as this will be just that, an experience. We can objectively view it, not be the effects of it. Unless we choose to be, then we are the conscious effect, and it is just another experience. And all experiences, regardless of their nature, can afford viewpoints and comparisons to better recognize the is. But definitely an example of the potential power of subliminals, and all these horror-orientated movies may certainly have the unaware individual position themselves in very dire circumstances from the cause and effect that stems from the agreement to very dark and lower astral aligning themes and ideas. And as you say, Dwayne, how they have blatantly hijacked what was the word that once referenced the true reality, the word it. And with this sequel evidently containing some very serious dark subliminals, the word it surely now is dragged not only into the physical astral, but more so into the dark recesses of the lower astral, I would suggest, and references now this very dismal and forbidding area of the psych realms. That endeth dream number one.
Oh, that's very, very good. Yes, to see things objectively, we go through all these experiences. So the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, the hurt, the pain, the drama. It's all okay because it adds up. So again, we are all free beings of real light already, and we're standing in the reality because life is an isness. We are already complete. Everything is what it is. Okay, it's not a finale, but it's endless. But to recognize that, we go through what we do in creation to eventually see what we already is. This is so cool about it. So what we're going through, but you need the reference material. We'll say knowledge, but you need the reference material and some guidance, you know, just like our parents, you know, guided us along. This is an example until we get to a real position, especially in the world today. But you and the kids, just totally excellent what you're doing and how you're defining this and, having the world, allowing the world to see this also. Everybody really needs help because, again, we're all free beings of real light. Everybody is, just that, the distortion is covered so much. So this is our adventure, too, as we become more aware and earn our way.
This dream would follow on from the previous dreams I have had, where I was afforded objective views of potential virtual reality worlds brought forth by the activation of nanobots by the 5G. A robotization of the human race that would be made an actuality through the agreement to this dastardly 5G technology. As the nanobots within every individual would be activated resultingly. And not only this, but it seems all those transformed would be subjected to another virtual reality stemming from the very biomechanical robot bodies that now were their physical vehicles. And so I would be given a glimpse of one of these potential virtual reality worlds, for it was my impression that there would be many variations, catered perhaps for each unique individual's created consciousness, categorizing everybody into the virtual worlds that would best appease their specific personal self wants and desires. In essence, then, the unaware who remain in cause and effect creation are now not only projecting into future lifetimes based on their ideas, emotions, and personal self-desires, but projecting, in fact, into future virtual reality worlds. Normally, they would simply be forging a future spot somewhere in the creation matrix simulator. But now, with the inception of this black magic technology distortion, they will be twice removed from their awareness and the ears, a simulation within a simulation. I would find myself viewing from the position of a creature in some vast labyrinth. Seems this place was filled with creatures of all kinds and descriptions, curious animal forms, and close approximations of creatures we know here on the earth, and some not so close that defy description. Seems that all these individuals just roamed about, doing very little, having no necessity to consume, and at first seemingly serving no purpose. And then other individuals entered this labyrinthian world, and they had a different function. They would rampage through this environment and seemingly seek to grow in might and prestige by destroying the aimless inhabitants that dwelled here. The inhabitants were of various size and capability, and would switch into action as they were attacked, or might indeed attack one of these invading individuals on sight. From the perspective of the inhabitants, death here for them was very real. At the hands of the invaders, fear was prevalent. It was surely a very negative environment to be in. My view would switch, and I was now objectively regarding from the position of an invader, and from their viewpoints, this was just a kind of amusement or a game. They had nothing to concern themselves about. It seemed that should they meet an ill fate, they could reboot and try again, and they seemed oblivious that the individuals they killed were in morbid and abject terror as to their positions. For as the inhabitants were locked in this place and could not move beyond its confines, the invaders could, and had a kind of world of existence beyond this labyrinth. Viewing from one of the invaders, I could see how they entered this arena, had their fun, then retreated by choice, or if dispatched, back to this world beyond. The majority of their time in this beyond world being spent training for the time they would spend in the labyrinth. My impressions and what I gleaned through my awareness were thus. All these individuals in this experience were those who had been subjected to the nano-robotization, been inserted into a particular virtual world or virtual world circumstance in alignment with whatever they had focused on, projected, the ideas and emotions they had, etc. The experience each were having was the effect of the cause set in motion by the agreement to whatever ideas they had embraced. In this case, individuals had found themselves in a kind of horror world where they were the victims of constant attack, in a very limited world where they had little function or purpose, and locked into their personal selves only. They were subjected to the programs running that had them doing just this, assuming the roles of simply targets in a kind of computer game, with very little consideration other than the fear they had due to the endless attacks that were their reality. They were thinking very little, projecting very little, as I had a viewpoint as one and several of these creatures too. It was a very restricted, programmed body vehicle that didn't allow much by way of free will activation in regards to thought and emotion. Those vehicles were present, yes, the five bodies, etc., but locked down in the programming that constricted these creational vehicles. The other individuals, through their choices, decisions, agreements, etc., had found themselves in a more liberating situation, but they were still locked in a similar programmed reality. All they seemed to do was exist in a place that was geared simply for the purpose of training for the attacks on the individuals within the labyrinth. This was the entirety of their lives, their singular point of existence. It seems that they had far greater lifespans. I had impressions of lengthy durations, perhaps indefinite. As again, their world was defined by agreements and projections made prior to their current position, and seems the agreement was of indefinite lifespans. And so we have all these individuals trapped in virtual reality worlds with variations of decided upon and unconsciously maintained rule sets which made up the specifics of their worlds. Interestingly, there were some slightly more awake individuals who began to see more than the programmed world that had their personal self encased within. Some began to realize that those they destroyed in this game were actual individuals and sought to try and bring a stop to the slaughter. But this was amusingly considered a conspiracy theory, but they made traction. And as I watched all this now from an objective position and not from the positions of any individuals, I witnessed a growing unease about the nature of their reality. And up until now, what they had considered as a simple cannon fodder were perhaps more than just targets. It was hard for them to appreciate this, as the individuals in the labyrinth were so constricted. It was hard to imagine how they could be actual beings, but they were. They had a real self with the is too, and it was simply their created personal self and consciousness in creation that was operating from such a very limited and self-decided position. A little like a tree, how people will disregard trees and plant life and not consider them to be individuals on the basis of their limitation of motion and existence from a human's perspective. All the easier then to cut them down if they are not reflecting what individuals consider to be ways of being that are similar to their own. And so I had the impression, as I was saying, of not just a standard virtual reality simulation within the creational simulator, but multitudes of them designed through agreement. And people who remain unaware and having to experience the unconscious effects of their unawareness will be aligning themselves now with whatever virtual reality best fits with what they are projecting now, in terms of ideas and agreement. Some far more restricting than others, but all restricted to a greater degree than the lifetimes we currently have. Either people assume these robot forms, or are born into them, and then are transitioned to a virtual reality within them, uniquely catered to their projections and created a consciousness. And again, even in such scenarios, people do exhibit degrees of awareness and waking up, but a far harder circumstance to do so within. Imagine trying to come to grips with and recognize that not only are you in a simulator for ease recognitional purposes, but you are in a robotic body within that on the physical level and within a virtual reality within that mechanized shell. This would, in fact, then be a theoretical sixth life level. The physical life level was level number one, and yes, these individuals would have the robotized physical vehicles there, but now they are locked in a virtual world within the mechanized robotic vehicle. And their focus is in these virtual worlds. Like a virtual reality headset, you never can take off. People born into this reality would not even consider the possibility of being in a virtual reality within a simulation. And those that transitioned into it in this lifetime, if unaware and thus programmed, and far more so through their robotic vehicles, they could easily be made to forget, a kind of mechanical induced Alzheimer's, as an example. They can no longer perceive the physical level that their robotic bodies reside in. They perceive now this new virtual world, and in essence then, they are technically another literal level removed from the ears, a hypothetical life level number six. Based on this, we can see that the perpetuation of these virtual realities are dependent on the maintenance of the robotic vehicles on the now redundant physical life level. Unless the physical level vehicle is destroyed, the individual cannot return to the astral and then move on to the next position. And so we have robotic vehicles which could theoretically self-repair if nano-infused, and could be indefinite in their durations. And in turn, these virtual realities that stem from the robot bodies would be likewise, just as eternal. It's possible that if an individual is dispatched in the labyrinth in my dream, yes, they may be gone from that position, but if their robotic vehicle remains on the physical, then they'd simply be rebooted and returned back to the same virtual reality again. Unless an individual transitions to the astral, they cannot assume a different lifetime and position. And considering how locked down these realities are, there appeared little room for consideration beyond that which the reality is comprised of, so things would be fairly static. there would be no change in collective ideas and agreement to them that afforded experience to move things along. And would these virtual reality worlds even operate with the same cause and effect principle as currently is in effect in the creational simulation? Do the computer games we play have cause and effect going on there? Not exactly, as whatever we decide within a game is limited according to the programmed parameters. And the parameters are decided by those that built it. We can want things and desire things in our games, but unlike creation, it is not a reflective bubble, and cause and effect will not provide us with the experience that flows from our desires. Of course, the virtual realities that are coming are based on what people are projecting now. So currently, cause and effect is forging these future realities, these future life level 6 places, as we are still in creation where the principle of cause and effect applies. But once we are within them, the walls come crashing down, and we are effectively within computer games of our own making and restricted by the programming which binds that world. Cause and effect cannot be brought to bear. Only one thing remains, that of real awareness. The real self will still be there with the ears, waiting to be recognized. And it's still possible that connection to it can be made, but it seems life within a programmed computer game cannot move in accordance with that which we decide or choose. So experience, and thus the opportunity for comparison, will be limited. But even in all this restriction, we have the other 5 bodies, so intuition and imagination are still accessible, and beyond a programmed virtual reality, within a programmed simulator, and it is from these we might get glimpses and hints of something more, and beyond our locked down virtual existences. And then maybe an opportunity to become aware and recognize the ears, assuming the guides can reach us in such an existence, would we even dream? If the physical life level robots never shut down and sleep isn't a necessity or a feature of these decided virtual realities, then it might be rather difficult to have real side experiences. Do the computer game characters in the games we play now dream? Finally, about the whole agreement to the 5G that is required to make this an actuality. I don't think getting agreement will be too hard, as most are addicted to technology, and so will desire their new 5G cell phones. But if that fails, I surmise agreement will be sought via the climate change scare and fear tactics, and this is very programmed and heavily prevalent on the TV at the moment. The endless marches, etc. The objective is to reduce carbon, but it doesn't end there. The further objective, and this is publicly spoken about, is to reduce carbon to 0. They are effectively telling us that to save the planet, we must be producing zero carbon, which means that there can be nothing living on this planet, as carbon is what we exhale, that the plants inhale, and vice versa. They are garnering agreement to this zero carbon idea, and the only way to do this is to kill every living thing, or yes, to robotize everything, that all carbon emissions will cease, as robots don't need to breathe. This, I suggest, they will be proposing as a means to save the world, that we must become robots. They may even reveal the existence of nanobots and tell us that the nanos we have within us will do the job once the 5G is switched on. If enough people agree, if enough are afraid of the consequences, should they not, that of carbon-caused climate change, then they will openly accept robotization, agreeing to the 5G, happy to let the nanos do their work, and agree, ultimately, to the virtual reality worlds that will follow.
Yes, as I'm listening to you, okay, so I'm going to create this other position about environmental education. You kids will all be involved in this because of what's coming up. Very, very important. It's going to be huge for this world. Yes, thank you very, very much. Just very well said. Thank you.
Before I came to find the new presentation, I was a practitioner of astral and out-of-body projection, and on occasion I may inadvertently find myself doing just this, as when the conditions are just right, it's rather easy to do so. I will generally exit my physical vehicle and find myself in my house initially. Then I will go into the street, and beyond a certain point, a kind of a boundary, if you please, I will then find myself somewhere in the astral. Back then, I didn't really know where I was going, but with the knowledge of the presentation, I know it to be the astral. Usually, as I say, I reach my street, and I can expect to find a few variations to the physical level version, and a few people wandering about. Sometimes they can perceive me, and we can converse, sometimes not. Sometimes I bump into a universal guide here also. On this occasion, however, the street was very dark, and yes, the street can vary from day to night, but this darkness was very oppressive, very thick and encompassing. Indeed, it was rather hard to see anything. Sometimes it takes a while for the astral perception to kick in, and my surroundings are hard to discern, like a mist. But with patience, the astral unfolds before me. From here we can see how individuals unpracticed in astral projection and other life-level recognition can be on these levels and not be able to see a thing, as the guides will take us about the creational levels to afford recognitional practice if we sing the new you and get on board with our awareness becoming. But here the darkness would remain. I could see no other individuals, just this foreboding, blanketing blackness. But there was something in the darkness, movement, a vague impression, hard to determine precisely. But there seemed to be shapes slightly differentiated from the blackness, and the impression of eyes, and further real self warnings of malice. Naturally, I didn't want to converse with these creatures, maybe entities of a kind, right at home in this oppressive darkness. I would return to my physical vehicle. I simply imagine my physical body, and I always will return to it when I am doing astral projections of this nature, regardless of where in the astral I might be on such projection excursions. But with the added awareness I have, I could sense these creatures were following me through from the astral to the physical. For yes, we do open portals if we project in this fashion, temporary or permanent, according to how persistently we indulge in such what would be for most flights of fancy. But I've experienced this before, an inadvertent projection, a portal created, and things following me through, and the New You song comes to the rescue. Singing this song seals the portals. I can impression their closure, and the individuals wishing to use this convenient doorway have it slammed in their faces, and they are denied. So, what I can say is this. The New You song, once again, is a handy tool for our connection to the ears and a demonstration of intent, giving the green light for the real guides to assist us in our ears' recognitional endeavours. It also is useful for dispelling unwanted individuals from our midst. Seems the unaware with ill intent cannot stand in the face of the true light vibrational frequency of the New You song. It is like the armor of the ears, and it also seals these portals. Many a time have I made an accidental portal and felt something coming through, and the New You song seals it right up. It is the true reality plumbing that can seal any hole between creational life levels, if the portal is being utilized with intentions not of a beneficial nature. And this is the first time I had seen my starting area of the astral immersed in such gloom and having these dark entity creatures there. I may well find and encounter individuals of this nature as I go beyond this launching point, beyond the barrier the street represents, but never there, so very close in literal terms. The darkness, I would say, is again the reflection of the constricted consciousness of creation and the agreements that are compounding and bringing about its demise. We have black holes, we have a dark sky at night, where once it was far more star-littered and bright, and we have the planet Earth beyond the cyberspace veil seen by aliens beyond it as it actually is, a dark ball of murky blackness. And now this blackness encroaches throughout the astral also, the next rung up. For yes, all of the creational life levels are as one, and all the body vehicles which correspond to the levels and are designed for the forging of cause and effect collective experience are as one. And as agreement is of a restricting nature, all aspects of the vehicles utilized for the agreeing to this constriction results in all of creation going down the plug hole. So just further confirmation of this creational demise, and also the proximity of these entities suggests they are further encroaching on the physical level. On previous shows, I have presented dreams where they are hijacking body vehicles on the astral and using technology as a conduit to this end. Seems some of them may well be able to make use of this creational collapse. Perhaps the physical level is aligning itself through the demise with the lower areas of the astral, where creatures of this nature dwell, and facilitating the ease by which they can access and draw nearer to the physical. For one can only find themselves positioned in the lower astral through the cause and effect consequences of the type of choices and decisions that produce life experience that aligns with the experience of such a forbidding and unsavory creational spot. And with all the distortion, it's very possible the physical level is becoming just as unsavory as this lower astral. In terms of vibrational density, the lower astral and the physical level are then quite possibly very close now in terms of places you'd least like to be, but find yourselves in accordance with imposing and restricting of others' life choices. Maybe the veil will thin between the physical and astral as the collapse of creation proceeds. And these entities are waiting, and we have seen many films which can be construed as documentaries of how the end times portrayed in them coincide with the demons and monsters from hell roaming the earth. If we take hell to be the lower astral, the end times to be where we are now, the verge of creational collapse, and the lower astral dwelling entities more able to access the physical through technology, astral vehicle hijacking, and simply pushing through weakened veils, then these movies are right on the money. A warning again of how astral projection is not without risk, for these critters are there and waiting and can seize unwary adventurers and prevent their return to the physical by severing the cord, etc. And these portals are very real. Without awareness, an individual would not be able to perceive them, oblivious of their presence. I've never heard an astral projecting practitioner ever speak of portals, and I never was aware of them before I began my awareness process. And my astral projection teacher never spoke of them. Again, he must have lacked awareness to see them. And even if aware of them, how would an individual know how to see all these portals without the connection to the real self? The real self knows just what to do, and how the New You song can be utilized to seal such portals.
Very important, very real for everybody. So, yes.